again, everyone, and welcome back to another season of Corridor with Karen. We're going to kick off the year with tea making, thanks to a book that my dear mate Selena passed on to me years ago, which I finally, with it being the school holidays, got to have a little peruse through. It is a book called Tea Culture, and it is written by Beverly Dubrin. And I thought there were some interesting facts in there, so naturally I thought, let's share it with the crew. So tea, by definition, comes from the leaves and buds of the tea plant called Camellia sinensis, known in ancient times as Thea, or could be Thea sinensis, and I presume that's where the name tea comes from. Today, tea drinkers tend to describe all infused beverages as tea, but authentic tea is classified as black, blue, green, yellow, or white, and is always plucked from the Camellia sinensis plant. Once harvested, freshly picked tea undergoes one or more processes before it is classified into one of the five colour categories. These processes include withering, rolling, oxidation, drying, and grading. So, of course, let's begin at the start with withering. Withering is a way of softening the tea leaf to make it pliable enough for further processing. The leaves and buds are spread out, usually in troughs, and simply left for a period of time, ranging from between 5 to 24 hours. During this time, approximately 35% of moisture is lost. Besides losing moisture, the tea also undergoes a chemical reaction whereby the starch in the leaf starts converting to sugar. In the early days of tea drinking, tea was made by simply immersing fresh leaves in hot water, with the result being a very bitter beverage. The tea making processes discussed today came about consequently so as to improve on this. The next step in the tea making process is rolling. Quite self-explanatory, really. The leaves are crushed or rolled either by hand or by machine. And during this process, the leaves are slightly crushed, thus allowing them to release sap. The next step in the process is oxidation. Oxidation is the process, the chemical process or chemical reaction that takes place when oxygen comes into contact with the leaves, although some natural oxidation occurs during withering and rolling. The rolled leaves are spread out in a cool place and air is circulated over them for several hours. During oxidation, heat is released. It is the tea master's job to carefully monitor the temperature of the oxidizing leaves to achieve the desired taste of the tea. As the leaves oxidize, their color changes from green to coppery red, and the flavor profile changes too. Oxidation generates thiorubigins, which cause the leaves to change color in the same way that a cut pear or avocado turns dark when exposed to air. The process also produces theophlavins, which contribute to the flavour of the tea. The final process of tea making is drying. To cease oxidation, the tea leaves are subjected to heat, with temperatures ranging from 54 degrees to over 93 degrees Celsius. The drying process is quick, taking only 15 to 20 minutes. For optimal flavour and quality, the leaves are dried to a moisture content of 3 to 12%. During drying, the leaves' colour change again, this time from copper shades to black or dark brown. Leaves with a moisture content greater than 12% can become mouldy, and those with a lesser moisture content may lack flavour or have a burnt taste. A properly dried tea is chemically stable and able to be stored. We are now up to the last final stage in tea production, which is the grading or sorting stage. And it is during this process that the leaf pieces are separated by their size. They are classified as whole leaf, broken leaf, fannings, or dust. The larger the leaf piece, the higher the quality of tea. In times past, the fannings and dust were used in tea bags, which gave bag-brewed tea its reputation as inferior. So that brings us to the end of the tea-making processes. We'll do some more work on tea and types of tea in my next episode, but for now we'll just break things up with a bit of music and then some Bible reading from Jeremiah.
You know, I got to say, something's funny, or something came and something crept in the room. Some people, you know, some people say, oh, songs are super sacred and you shouldn't do them, and oh, how could you do that? And you know, and some people like preserve, you know, I mean, personally, when people do my songs, and most people, in most versions of songs I've heard, most people I've heard do songs I've written, do them much better than me. Which is frustrating and very flattering. But, you know, no one really complains. I was talking to some journalists today, like when Yo-Yo Ma plays Bach on the cello, you know what I mean? But, you know, so I think it should be okay to bring out songs. Plus, Marvin would be cool with it, you know what I mean? Marvin would be real cool with it. You know he would be. So I'm going to invite out a dear friend of mine. We're going to do a song. Eddie Vedder.
I should just thank Ben publicly for playing this Madison Square Garden rally with us for a guy called Ralph Nader before last year's election. Ralph Nader was the only real man to run for president. Just say real man because the other two, not that they're not men, but they're kind of more puppets with huge corporate hands up their asses, moving their mouths, that kind of thing. I heard that, I don't know if you heard this, that George Bush's nickname from the frat boys was Boy George.
And don't insult Boy George like that either. You know, it's like, ooh.
I think they made it up when they were in the showers.
I would imagine. Spare me the Polaroids.
Silent, the sun that will be gone.
Thank you all very, very much. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you.
Chapter 31. And when that happens, God's decree, it will be plain as the sun at high noon. I'll be the God of every man, woman, and child in Israel, and they shall be my very own people. This is the way God put it. They found grace out in the desert, these people who survived the killing. Israel, out looking for a place to rest, met God out looking for them. God told them, I've never quit loving you and never will. Expect love, love, and more love. And so now I'll start over with you and build you up again, dear Virgin Israel. You'll resume your singing, grabbing tambourines and joining the dance. You'll go back to your old work of planting vineyards on the Samaritan hillsides and sit back and enjoy the fruit. Oh, how you'll enjoy those harvests. The time's coming when watchmen will call out from the hilltops of Ephraim. On your feet, let's go to Zion. Go to meet our God. Oh, yes, God says so. Shout for joy at the top of your lungs for Jacob. Announce the good news to the number one nation. Raise cheers. Sing praises. Say, God has saved his people. Save the core of Israel. Watch what comes next. I'll bring my people back from the north country and gather them up from the ends of the earth. Gather those who've gone blind and those who are lame and limping. Gather pregnant women, even the mothers whose birth pangs have started. Bring them all back, a huge crowd. Watch them come. They'll come weeping for joy as I take their hands and lead them. Lead them to fresh, flowing brooks. Lead them along smooth, uncluttered paths. Yes. It's because I'm Israel's father and Ephraim's my firstborn son. Hear this, nations, God's message. Broadcast this all over the world. Tell them, the one who scattered Israel will gather them together again. From now on, he'll keep a careful eye on them, like a shepherd with his flock. I, God, will pay a stiff ransom price for Jacob. I'll free him from the grip of the Babylonian bully. The people will climb up Zion's slopes shouting with joy, their faces beaming because of God's bounty. Grain and wine and oil, flocks of sheep, herds of cattle. Their lives will be like a well-watered garden, never again left to dry up. Young women will dance and be happy. Young men and old men will join in. I'll convert their weeping into laughter, lavishing comfort, invading their grief with joy. I'll make sure that their priests get 3 square meals a day and that my people have more than enough. God's decree. Again, God's message. Listen to this. Laments coming out of Ramah, wild and bitter weeping. It's Rachel weeping for her children. Rachel refusing all solace. Her children are gone. Gone. Long gone into exile. But God says, stop your incessant weeping. Hold back your tears. Collect wages from your grief work. God's decree. They'll be coming back home. There's hope for your children. God's decree. I've heard the contrition of Ephraim. Yes, I've heard it clearly, saying, you trained me well. You broke me, a wild yearling horse, to the saddle. Now put me, train and obedient, to use. You were my God. After those years of running loose, I repented. After you trained me to obedience, I was ashamed of my past, my wild, unruly past. Humiliated, I beat on my chest. Will I ever live this down? Oh, Ephraim is my dear, dear son, my child in whom I take pleasure. Every time I mention his name, my heart bursts with longing for him. Everything in me cries out for him. Softly and tenderly, I wait for him. God's decree. Set up signposts to mark your trip home. Get a good map. Study the road conditions. The road out is the road back. Come back, dear Virgin Israel. Come back to your hometowns. How long will you flit here and there, indecisive? How long before you make up your fickle mind? God will create a new thing in this land. A transformed woman will embrace the transforming God. A message from Israel's God of the angel armies. When I've turned everything around and brought my people back, the old expressions will be heard on the streets. God bless you, O true home, O holy mountain. All Judah's people, whether in town or country, will get along just fine with each other. I'll refresh tired bodies. I'll restore tired souls. Just then, I woke up and looked around. What a pleasant and satisfying sleep. Be ready. The time's coming. God's decree. When I will plant people and animals in Israel and Judah, just as a farmer plants seed. And in the same way that earlier I relentlessly pulled up and tore down, took apart and demolished. So now I am sticking with them as they start over, building and planting. When that time comes, you won't hear the old proverb anymore. Parents ate the green apples. Their children got the stomachache. No, each person will pay for his own sin. You eat green apples, you're the one who gets sick. That's right. The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. It won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, even though I did my part as their master. God's decree. This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God. And they will be my people. They will no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand, the dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned. God's decree. If this ordered cosmos ever fell to pieces, God's message from the God who lights up the day with sun and brightens the night with moon and stars, who whips the ocean into a billowy froth, whose name is God of the angel armies. If this ordered cosmos ever fell to pieces, fell into chaos before me, God's decree, then and only then might Israel fall apart and disappear as a nation before me. God's message. If the skies could be measured with a yardstick and the earth explored to its core, then and only then would I turn my back on Israel, disgusted with all they've done. God's decree. The time is coming. It's God's decree. When God's city will be rebuilt. Rebuilt all the way from the citadel of Hanamel to the corner gate. The master plan will extend west to Garib Hill and then around to Goeth. The whole valley to the south where incinerated corpses are dumped. A death valley if there ever was one. And all the terraced fields out to the brook Kidron on the east as far north as the horse gate will be consecrated to me as a holy place. This city will never again be torn down or destroyed.
you've been listening to Kōrero with Karen. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to tune in to Planet FM at 104.6 every fourth Wednesday at 10 past 2 in the afternoon. Or check it out anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/Kōrero with Karen. That's Karen with a Y. Ka kite anō e hoa.